First, a quick note from sports. We now know UNC's opponent for tomorrow's game. Florida State knocked off Virginia Tech, so it will be UNC versus Florida State tomorrow at noon here on 97.9 The Hill. Our coverage set to start at 10:30 with countdown to tip-off. Looking to local government now. Last week's local elections may not quite be over yet. Bonnie Hauser confirmed with Chapelboro that she is calling for a runoff election against the third-place finisher Jennifer Moore if Moore's totals do not reach a threshold required by law when they're certified on Friday. In the unofficial results reported last Tuesday, Moore earned 6,497 votes to Hauser's 6,036, enough to claim the third and final seat in the race on sheer amount alone. But North Carolina law requires candidates in races with more than one seat available to receive at least half the votes cast to be safe from a runoff. In this case, the News and Observer reported that 50% threshold is 6,563, and that leaves more 66 votes short, and that means that we are likely headed to a runoff in May. We'll have that officially on Friday, and you can check the news article on chapelboro.com for more details. In other local government news, the Chapel Hill Town Council will meet tonight at 6 o'clock for a work session. Council will discuss next year's budget. They'll also get an update from town staff on the ongoing rewrite of the town's Land Use Management Ordinance, or LUMO for fun. You can get a link to the full agenda for tonight's meeting on our website. Looking to the state level now, the 2024 gubernatorial race is set in North Carolina. Democratic Attorney General Josh Stein is set to face Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Robinson has a long history of extreme comments and positions, including denying the Holocaust, referring to LGBTQ people as filth, and calling for a total ban on abortion. But polls are still showing a close race between him and Stein. Speaking on 97.9 The Hill this week, public policy polling director Tom Jensen explained part of the reason and one way that might change in the coming months.
Voters don't know the bad stuff about Mark Robinson yet. You talk to any sort of like activist here and it's just, you know, sort of understood that, oh, Mark Robinson's so crazy, we couldn't possibly elect someone like that. The challenge for Democrats and Josh Stein here in the coming months is going to have that be something that normal voters feel too. And it's not at that point yet. I am cautiously more to the side of thinking that that stuff will all eventually come back to bite him. We've talked before about how in 2022 in the Michigan and Pennsylvania governor's races, which are, of course, you know, very 50-50 states just like we are, those races for governor started out close, and then the more voters got to know about the Republican candidates who were sort of Mark Robinson-style extremists, the Democrats ended up winning both of those gubernatorial races by double digits. So it's going to be interesting to see if it gets to that point with Robinson. I think it's harder for it to get that out of hand in a presidential year. I think there's more room for something like that to happen in a midterm where people aren't just going to be turning out for president and voting Republican as long as they're doing that for everything else. But there is a model that shows that even in a very competitive state, somebody like Robinson can prove to be too extreme to get elected. We'll see whether we're on that list or not.
Tom Jensen there. You can get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, we got some Franklin Street business news for you. Axios reporting that the Starbucks on Franklin Street plans on moving across the street. They'll be moving to the spot right below Top of the Hill on the corner of Franklin and Columbia. UNC's on spring break this week, and that's providing a necessary chance for many students to relax and take some time for themselves. When they return, they'll be greeted with a growing popular scavenger hunt organized by one student. The student goes by the alias Ms. Frogger, has been crocheting small, colorful frogs and hiding them around campus to add a little joy into people's days. Carolina Connections' Sarah Ellis has the story.
It's March 7th, and a scavenger hunt is about to begin. An anonymous student, Ms. Frogger, crochets and hides stuffed frogs across UNC's campus for students to find. She posts photos of the frogs and gives hints on Instagram. The newest frog is blue and green and approximately the size of a tennis ball. Ms. Frogger hid it in a Phillips Hall staircase.
We are about to put a frog out. So I took a picture of the frog. He's in like a little chair in a corner in the fourth floor stairwell in Phillips. So I have the caption, I have the picture, so then I just click share, and then I wait for it to post. Wi-Fi is not that good. Oh, and it's posted. And then I wait.
She didn't wait long, though. Only a moment after the post went live on Instagram, footsteps were heard throughout the stairway. At 2:10, junior Hannah Perkins rounded the corner of the stairway, panting, and triumphantly reached the frog.
First time. Oh my gosh.
I just found the crochet frog. I was in a research office, and I saw it, and I just ran from Chapman Hall. Ran all the way up the stairs to come find it. And I've literally been telling my friends, like, if I do not find a crochet frog this semester, I'm going to be so sad. So I'm really excited to find it.
While finding these adorable creatures is a fun and joyous process for students, there's a more serious reason for their existence. Ms. Frogger first created them to help students cope after the shooting in August that killed Professor Sejae Yeon. Ms. Frogger says that she wishes to encourage those on campus.
I just want to show them that there's, like, good things out there, you know, even if it's just something as small as a little frog that you randomly find. You know, there's things out there that make life worth living. Even though it obviously a frog isn't going to cure someone's mental health issues, it can be like a symbol, I guess, you know, getting help and getting better.
Ms. Frogger asked to remain anonymous because she says she wants the focus to remain on mental health and not on herself. Following the shooting, she, like many others, was struggling. She coped with her anxiety by learning to crochet. And during the lockdown, she remained on the second floor of Davis. And after it was over, she found it hard to go back. She placed her first frog in Davis just to force herself to return.
Putting things in Davis has been really important, even still now. That's why I like putting stuff in Davis, because it was sort of taking that place that was traumatic and trying to, like, find healing in it. And so it's like, you know, if it's hard for me to go in on my own, knowing that I'm going in with this purpose of trying to make other people happy makes it easier.
She says that the frogs have not only been beneficial to the campus, they have put her in a better place mentally. Ms. Frogger intends to continue putting out frogs until she graduates next year. Since August, she has put out more than 75. From Chapel Hill, I'm Sarah Ellis.
Carolina Connection is a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussmann School of Journalism and Media. They're off this week because of spring break, but you can hear their full programs on Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill through the rest of the spring semester. Time now for sports, and we'll start by talking basketball. We now know who UNC will be playing tomorrow in their quarterfinal action in the ACC tournament. As earlier this afternoon, Florida State was able to get past Virginia Tech. Tar Heels will be facing Florida State with the newly minted ACC Player of the Year in R.J. Davis, also the Coach of the Year in Hubert Davis. And we also heard from Hubert on the radio show yesterday about R.J. and having his number 4 jersey hanging in the rafters of the Smith Center. Here's what Hubert had to say and how he broke the news to his star player.
During practice, one of the things I always do is look up in the rafters, and, you know, I get to see my uncle, the Davis, up there. And I said, I just, you know, always want to look up and see Uncle Walt. But I said, you know what, this is going to be really cool. Now there'll be another Davis up in the rafters. And I said, RJ, you're ACC Player of the Year. He was like, what? He's going crazy. And so it was really good, cool, and just so happy for him, how he's been celebrated and recognized for what an unbelievable season, but really a career.
Yeah.
And just the type of person he has been, the teammate, the leader, on the court, off the court, in the classroom, and it couldn't go to a better person.
Head coach Hubert Davis speaking there. 97.9 The Hill's coverage of tomorrow's quarterfinal game against Florida State will begin bright and early. Get that started at 10:30 a.m. with Countdown to Tip-Off with Brighton McConnell. The Diamond Heels stayed hot yesterday with a 13-7 win against Rutgers. How hot are they? Well, they were down 6-5 in the seventh when they went off for 5 runs to take charge of the game, and that comeback victory was the team's 10th win in a row. Casey Cook continued his breakout year with 4 hits and 6 batted in, and they are getting started once again for the last game of that series against Rutgers as we speak. UNC softball also off to a hot start, also continued that yesterday. They demolished Elon 12-1. That gaudy total includes a 7-run fourth inning capped off by an Isabella Emmerling grand slam. Congratulations to her. Also, both men's and women's lacrosse won yesterday. The men beat Wagner 18-4. The women dispatched ECU 14-6.